Welcome. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing on day two of our practitioner retreat? Everybody doing okay? Thumbs up. Who made it to exercise this morning with Maria? Yeah? Good, good, good. That's awesome. Good to hear. I know Barbara said she did too. I was hoping to, but I didn't get to bed early enough. So I chose sleep over fitness. Sometimes we have to make those decisions over our top priorities, like which is more important to me today, fitness or sleep, right? And if I can get it in later, I have my little thing here and I can do some of that stuff. But sometimes I just say, I'm not getting up early today, I'm going to sleep. And some days it's like, yes, I'm going to get up early and exercise. So,
well, 65 this morning in Austin. So I went for a walk with a dog.
It was 60, oh, nice.
65 in Austin this time of the year. It's very rare. So
it's rare. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. See, for me, 65 is like, oh, I'm waiting till later when it's warmer. That's me. I like to go out when it's 85. 90 is okay, but I prefer 95 over 65. I'm just weird. Let's just say I prefer to go out when it's 95 versus 65. I
remember Karen got less body fat, so you need to.
Yeah, that could be true. But Karen came over this was a couple of years ago, and we had had a hot spell of 100 plus degrees for however long. And she came over and we walked outside and I went, wow, it's really cool today. She goes, yeah, it feels really cool today. And we checked the, you know, the iPhones and it was 94. And it felt really cool because it had been 100 for so long. Anyway, good morning. I'm so excited to have you back. I really think we had an awesome first day. I'm going to go over a few things before we jump right in. And I'm going to make some recommendations. And I would like, if you're on and you're not like, you know, busy trying to take care of a kid or whatever, keep your camera on, because it really makes a difference for us to feel connected with everybody in the room. And so I'm looking and I'm saying, these are the people that are in my space right now. I'm not looking over at that list because it's hard to find people on the list, right? I know that I'm with you. And I know periodically you might go off because you have to go to the bathroom or you're going to the kitchen to grab some tea and you don't want to be disruptive, and that's fine, right? The other thing I'll say is make sure you keep your mic off when you are moving around, because I noticed that yesterday, people were, I don't know how their mic even got on because I turned it off, but sometimes the mics somehow come on again. So don't turn your mic on. If you notice that it's off, just keep it off unless you're sharing, and then we'll open it. And that might be what happens, is you share and then we don't turn it back off, but it just helps to keep the noise level down. And let's see what else. Be respectful of other people. So when they're speaking, like, pay attention. It's like, make eye contact like you would if you were really in the room with them. Like, look at them or look at the count, look at them, right? And it really makes a difference to see that. And I love, some of you are like, so yeah, you know, so really into it. Like, I love that because it really helps me to see if something's hitting. And if you're like, then I go, oh, so they must be bored. Well, maybe you're not, but anyway, so fully present is really a good idea, as fully present as you can be. There's a lot of good stuff that we're going to share, and some of it you might have heard before, right? And some of it you haven't. And sometimes there's something you might have heard before and you're listening in a different way, or you've heard it before, so it's not as new. So your brain isn't in that new mode and you hear something new in that. So one of the most dangerous messages or dangerous things you say to yourself is, I already know that. Because what that does is it shuts off learning and you go into your own head and you may miss a distinction. Cindy may say something that totally blows your mind and rocks your world, and you missed it because it started with, oh, I already know that, right? So really keep an open mind with that. The way I look at it is, if I go to a weekend workshop retreat, I'm happier if there's stuff that I already know that's covered, because then I don't have to be like, oh, all the time going, oh, gotta get that down. And then the stuff that's new, I'm like totally open to. And I prefer to go to a weekend that's not like packed full of nonstop new stuff, so that I can breathe in between and I can take notes on the stuff that is new and that sinks in. And you hear things differently every time you hear it, right? Even if I'm teaching it, I hear it differently than than maybe I've ever said it before, right? Because we have to stay present and in the moment and inspired. So I'm just going to ask those things from you. Come back from breaks on time. I understand if you have commitments or whatever, but you know, make sure that, you know, it's really important to do that. I think that's it. All right. So we went through a bunch of stuff yesterday. We learned a lot. We had a couple of really good speakers. We talked a lot about ourselves. So you might have learned a little bit about yourself, like what really was on your mind, what really was holding you back, and having conversations with another person as opposed to just sitting there writing things down makes a huge difference in how deeply you can explore something. Really makes a difference. So what I want to do this morning before we jump into some continuation and some new stuff related to, you know, you creating who you are, your brand, personal brand, your avatar. And sometimes people say, well, I've done that before. I did this in another class. And for me, it's something that I need to just keep revisiting and I need to keep refining. And it makes it, it's easier and easier. And like, oh, I had a big aha yesterday when Nikki was talking about your images and having your images be really consistent and congruent so that people recognize, oh, that's Dr. Rita Marie, that's Barbara, that's Cindy, that's Jill, right? That they get that because I realized that I had images in my stuff that were little cute 20-year-olds going jumping around like this. That's not congruent with my audience, right? If I had a bunch of men and little boys running around in their pictures eating great salads, that's not gonna appeal. That people aren't gonna know, oh, that's for me, right? If Allison did her beautiful book and it was full of men and beautiful young girls, nobody would get that this was about menopause, right? Because people are very visually oriented. So I had a big aha yesterday with that. And that my I have brand colors, but they're not always congruent in the graphics I pick to throw up on Facebook. Yeah, a lot of the stuff I put up is not a graphic. It's a picture of food I just ate. So it's you know, whatever it is. But I think that was a really big aha. It's like we want people to recognize, like if you see an Apple logo or if you see, without any words, right? You see something that has that logo or you see something that has the little Nike. It's just a very weird generic little thing, but you see that, you know it's Nike. And that's what you want people to get to, you know, that, oh, that's Barbara. Yeah. Oh, Barbara's doing a class next week. I see that logo. Let me take a look. Right. And it's going by fast on Facebook. So if you do want people to stop, like she said, have something that's beautiful that they stop and take a look at. The other distinction that I saw yesterday is when Summer was showing some of those pictures and she showed the ones from Alisa Song, and she's a good friend of mine as well. And she's an amazing person. And she teaches things to kids. It's not that she teaches a lot of stuff that's anything different than all of us know in terms of teaching kids. I mean, she has experience as a pediatrician, so she knows about, you know, other things like reactions to medications and, you know, various in-depth conditions. But she put out these things like simple, anybody here could have done a food sources of zinc chart, right? Who here could not have figured out how to do a food sources of zinc chart? And who could not have done a simple one like she did, which was a words on one side and a pretty picture on the other? Like that's a Word doc. That's not Canva. That's not Photoshop. That's not anything beyond a Word doc that we could all do. So we don't have to have, when we think infographic, we don't have to hire a graphic designer. We don't have to freak out and spend 3 or 4 hours. I mean, those charts literally you could do in 10, 15 minutes, right? You research the food sources of whatever it is that you want to be doing, right? Or you look up the most common herbs, the most common antiviral herbs, big. So I had one done like that. Somebody just did one like Dr. Rita Marie's flu shot, something like that. And it was a bunch of antiviral herbs. Right? So simple things like that, that reflect who you are and what you want to get out there. Don't spend a lot of time on it. If you're still working with cancer patients, Alma, you can have, you know, the top 10 foods that contribute to cancer, right? And you might want to be careful about that. You can't say cure cancer, but you can say contribute to cancer, right? We can't say the top 10 herbs that cure cancer, but you can pick whatever it is that if you want to do a food thing, Maria, you know, what's the top 3 foods to never eat before a workout? right? Or the top five foods to eat after a workout. And you have a simple thing and you just keep putting these really simple graphics out. You can get ideas for these in our done for you materials, right? You can get it from any of our stuff that you already have access to on the web. So it's really, I think, capitalize on what somebody else has done if they've given you permission to it. Or look at an idea like from Elisa, like, oh my God, these things went viral. Like, I could have done those. Anybody here could have made one of those. But she did it in such a way with the pretty color. And then she positioned it as, you know, this thing that went crazy. Like people like, just wanted to down it. The top three foods for good eyesight. The top three habits that people have that mess with their eyesight. You know, and you're like,
can I say something really quick, Dr. Minimer? Because like I now actually say I hate those lists just because, you know, carrots, like all the food for eyesight are the ones that raise my blood sugar. So I always tell people like, yeah, carrots are great, right? So, but anyway, I get your idea. I know what you're saying. But
yeah, so make it appropriate, right? The top low glycemic foods for good eyesight.
Right.
Right? Or which foods you shouldn't eat if you have blood sugar imbalances or may not be able to eat, right? Because it's different from person to person. We heard from Louisa yesterday, or she said, I guess you guys were in breakout still, she came, had come back, but she didn't work for her, and Carrie's husband didn't work for her, them, to do the high fat, low glycemic diet. And they switched to still a plant-based diet that was higher in fruit, maybe not like eating pineapple all day long, but able to do that just because of the way the body handles it. So you can throw these little simple things, the top three things to do at the computer to avoid eye strain, right? And you have little pictures, you know, pictures sitting like this and somebody doing this or whatever, looking at the sun, you know, simple things like that, that just should throw out. So you have consistent branding and always have your brand. That was the mistake that Elisa made on those pictures, right? She didn't have her logo. It could have been anybody's thing. So you have your logo on there, right? And a URL where they could take action, you know? And if you want even further, then you can do a call to action, like Nikki said, and I love how she had the little call to action in the book. Click here or write me, email me, call me, whatever, right? And you can just have that be there and, you know, you've got something. Or you just put out the informational just to get known, because people will share it if it doesn't look like an ad. So if it just has your logo at the bottom with your URL, that could be your call to action, which is your link to a free gift. And that's another thing. We don't want to just put our website address on there. Because why? Because there's a bazillion things they can do when they get there. They can look at this tab and this tab and this tab. What do you want them to do? I want them to opt in for my 5 strategies to jumpstart my energy. Okay, so that's what you put at the bottom, www. You know, whatever. I have 250 URLs because every time I have a new opt-in, I want to have a URL for it. You don't have to do that. It does get, I think, oh, it's only $8.49 a year, which is fine, except that when you have 250 of them, it's not $8.49 a year. It's like, you know, almost $1,000 a year. So you just think about how you want to invest. But always have that where you want them to go to get your free gift. So when they click that, they go, oh, wow, look at that. Alma has the top 12 foods I should avoid if I want to reduce my risk of cancer. Let me see what those are, right? Is this making sense? The simple things, because I see people get paralyzed because they don't have that perfect website up and they can't do anything. I have a sucky website. Ever look at my website? It's really awful. It's really not nice at all. It's not clear. It's confusing. But I don't send people to my website. I send people to any of my 100 different opt-in pages where they take an action and then I can know they're interested in this. How do I write to them after that? You don't need 100. All you need is one, right? And even if you have no website and just opt-in page, there are people who have million-dollar businesses just with no website, just an opt-in page. Now, the website's always good for people to check you out. What's your history? Who is she? Do I really trust this person? Great. That's where you put all your accolades and your awards. And if you've been on TV, and if you've not, then just where you've been. But that's a place, it's like a bio. It's like some place that they go to see if you're real, right? Is this making sense? So what I'm trying to do is take away some of the objections that you might have for even getting started and getting yourself out there. So what I want to do before we jump into this morning stuff is clarify any questions that you guys have and any ahas that you feel like, oh my gosh, I learned this and now I'm going to do that. Okay, just raise your hand like this or put the raised hand. Okay, so we have Eva and then Lynn.
Hi, I really loved Summer's presentation. Mm-hmm. Because it was really clear about what the changes you need to do. And, you know, the step is how to put the opt-in on your website. I don't even know how to do that. So that's one thing that I really have to focus on, finding the technical part and know exactly what to do with it. So I just need to get comfortable with the technical part of including that in my website. And just working on my website, basically. So, she was very clear about the message that you have to put out and, you know, the avatar and, you know, who you're speaking to. So that was a really good message for me from the home.
All right.
Because right now I'm doing a lot of different clients and I opened up my channels to different clients just to see what, you know, what it is. And, you know, the market changed also a little bit. So, you know. But I want to get back into what my focus was. So it was a really good message.
And what you say really brings up a good point, Eva, because you opened up to different clients. You never need to close down to different clients. You just need to keep your message so that it appeals to the one set. But you can easily take on whatever clients you want to. And if you want to have a wider approach, then you create a marketing that's just geared towards broadening that approach, but you keep your marketing efforts there. Like when the market changes and people are focused on immune system stuff, you create something that's immune related. If something's happening and, you know, there's Chernobyl again and everybody's concerned about their thyroid and iodine, you pivot and you can create various offerings in that new way. And that way it doesn't have to be on your main website. It's just an opt-in page. Right. And there's freestanding opt-in pages, or there's a link to an opt-in page on the website. And so the freestanding opt-in page.
I'm actually doing a lot of free stuff now, consultations. I opened up a coaching with a tea time with a coach where anybody can come in and ask questions. So I'm just giving back.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But it's also a beta test for me to see what's out there, what people are looking for information-wise. So that's I use that as, you know, I'm getting back what I need and I'm giving back what they need. Yeah.
And in addition, you are, if they have certain things, there's no reason you can't say, oh, check me out. Just give me a call. We'll have a consultation. You might be a perfect candidate for this PCOS program that I have.
Right.
Or whatever that might be, you know?
Correct.
Right. And so you gather information, but you also use it as a way to be known, get known. Right. And you say, share this with your friends because everybody needs a little coaching right now.
Right. But it was really good about the website. So I know what I need.
And then you need an opt-in. So that's an easy thing to do because the technical and if everybody's really interested in that, we can maybe do a call on, you know, some of the tech and how to get it done. There are programs out there you do have to pay for, ClickFunnels, $97 a month, but anybody can create freestanding, and Lynn can address that because she does that. You know, you just go in there and you just create these opt-in pages. You give them they give you the URL. They host it for you.
And they actually pay for my website and hosting, so I don't have any spam going through. Because when you do an opt-in, sometimes the robots can find your website. So I pay for the service, but I'm not technically.
Yeah. So I would say that doing something like ClickFunnels where it's hosted on their servers and they're going to do all the security stuff is a way to go. So look into ClickFunnels. So $97 a month, and you would pay way more than that to pay somebody to do it. And your time to learn to do it is better utilized. So that's okay, servicing your clients. So Lynn, go for it.
I like the, for me, it was bringing it back to those foundations. Who are my people? And just really not glossing over that piece. you know, yeah, years ago I did the whole, I spent like a whole weekend just doing nothing but really fleshing out who that person is. Mm-hmm. But then you put it on the shelf and you keep moving on, but it's just always coming back and reminding yourself. Mm-hmm. And has she changed? You know, like you said, what's out there?
What does she need now? What does she need now? If you've already identified that person, what is she feeling right now, given this whole pandemic situation? And how do I speak to her?
Right. Yeah. And then also the importance of self-care, because that there's this movie I love called Water for Chocolate. And in the movie, this woman is making a wedding feast for her sister, who's marrying the man this girl really loves. And so she's crying the whole time she's making this food. And when everybody eats the food, they're crying. And I just always remember that, because as we look to who our person is, who our ideal client is, who we have a passion for, calling for, and as we create things for them, how we take care of ourselves shows up in this material. And they're going to know on some level that we're not authentic. And so just little foundational gems all along.
Yeah. So it's great. It's always good to keep coming back to the basics. And I know when I always go, oh, niche again, avatar again, but every single time it's like, well, you haven't really done a good job of defining it. Let's really define it. And if Allie, if you're open to it later, I'm going to have you, if you're okay reading. But the point is that, yes, that person will change, and that person will change based on the environment. If you really get them and you revisit it, you always want to think about, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? Right. And how do you address that? And what Summer had said is, you know, every time you're writing marketing copy, every time you're putting it out there, you're thinking about, how is Susie going to take this? Is Susie going to resonate with this? How can I make this so Susie resonates with that? Or whoever your avatar, you can name your avatar.
But it comes down to how, it comes down first to us. Because if we're not in a good and grounded place, we have nothing to reach out to them with.
Absolutely.
And right? So that, but see, so many of us always took care of everybody else. And it would just kind of, because we aren't showing up.
Yeah.
And so it just really needs to be said over and over again. First, put on your own mask.
Put on your own mask. I was going to say that same analogy. Put on your own mask first.
Take care of yourself. And then you'll have the love and fortitude to send to others. Yeah. And they'll feel that. So you're empowering them.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think that's a really important point. Thank you for bringing it up, to come back to keep coming back to. It's not selfish to take care of yourself. And that's what a lot of us, that's not good. I've got to take care of other people first. And when you take care of yourself first, you're taking care of others. It's really super important. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Ahas, things you're taking away, things that were highlights. So came up yesterday, somebody said, well, I don't know, what do you mean by avatar? I think it was Rylan Rose. I've seen the movie, but how does that relate to my business, right? So avatar is really that person. Who do you identify as that person that you're targeting your attention on? That person you want to address. And yeah, it's a group of people, obviously, because you're not going to make a business working with Susie and nobody else, right? But who is that? And who? How can you make a description that's representative of the group? Yeah, there's going to be little nuances. One might be, you know, married for 20 years. One might be newly married, whatever that is, unless you're in a dating game. It doesn't matter when they were married or if they're married, right? But when you define that person, even like they are married, they have three kids, the kids are grown up, how are they feeling? When you write to that particular person, it resonates. If you write to, no, but it might be this and it might be that, and you write to all of them, people are reading your stuff, not really going, oh yeah, she's talking to me. She's reading my mind, right? She's reading my mind. You don't always have to overtly say, my program is for women over 35 with, you know, four kids. You don't say that. But when you say the language out there, there's enough people that are going to completely resonate with you, right? If you have a child with a disability, like V'Elaine is in and out working with her child, you basically can, there's certain things that none of us has any experience with those feelings, but that's universal throughout parents of kids with disabilities, whether or not it's the same disability or another, right? It's the same emotional journey that they're going on. And when V'Elaine writes her opt-in page or her sales page to that person, she has to come from this heart of the depth of the feeling, the despair sometimes, the joy when they make these little milestones, right? That none of us could really experience. But that person reads and goes, I want to work with her. I don't want to work with somebody who works with adrenal fatigue over here that just works with business people who do have adrenal fatigue. I relate to her because she gets me. Does this make sense? And we think that it's going to narrow down the audience, but actually it expands it. And it doesn't mean you can't work with other people. It doesn't mean that some of those feelings are going to be experienced by someone else in a different realm. But it's really important to be connected. So when you're writing to that person. You know, that you're writing to that person. You pretend that that person's sitting in front of you and you go, boom, boom, boom. How does Susie feel about what I just wrote? Is this making sense? Yes? So we're going to help you with that this morning. So I want to help
my avatar right there.
What's that?
This is my avatar right here.
Well, you have a picture. Huh. Look at that.
I'm really visual and I have a hard time focusing when I'm writing. And I think I drift wider and wider and wider. So I built this in Canva and I picked an image of an older, I'd say older woman, but not a young person. And then characteristics of her that are she can't lose weight. She has fatigue, pain, you know, there's a list of them that kind of give me a general idea of who she might be. And then what I can do is I can take this and I can either set it down next to my computer, or I can even tape it behind my computer so I can actually
look at it while you're writing.
Yeah.
And
that seemed to be helping. I obviously was still not narrow enough, but that has kind of helped to reel me in a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And if you are visual, create that. So who is she? Like you said, like, what is she experiencing? What are they experiencing? What's the problem that they're experiencing? Inability to lose weight, brain fog, hot sweats, fatigue because they're, you know, taking care of their kid and they don't have time for themselves, low energy, cancer diagnosis, Crohn's diagnosis. What is it that they're experiencing? So we're going to go through this together. There's a sheet in your brand awareness doc. And it just says, who's your avatar? So under that section, if you want to take notes there, you're welcome to do that. And you can write in as we go through these pieces. I'm going to give you a little bit of time in between to actually write some of this stuff. And then we're going to break in groups. Now, those of you who've already done this and don't feel like you want to work more on it, and those of you who were in our call the other day, we're going to have a different breakout. So we're going to have a breakout for people who have already done this, and then we're going to move further along with what we're going to do with it. But I want you to get established with this, and you'll get to choose when we get there. So we may have to do a manual breakout things, but that's okay. So here, who are they? Now, here it is. It may not be age or demographic that separates them. There can be somebody who's 22 that's having this experience where they're losing their vision, and somebody who's 52 who's losing their vision, and they're going through that same thing, that same set of feelings. So you don't have to just necessarily get it down to a demographic, right? That could be important, but it's not necessary. Someone who's 25 and just had a complete hysterectomy is going to have similar symptoms, although there's a more complication there, to someone who's going through menopause, right? Physical symptoms. Emotional symptoms might be totally different, right? Because they're despairing over the loss of their potential fertility and all that kind of stuff. But there's still that sense of loss when you hit menopause. It's like, oh, I can't have another baby. Oh my gosh, you know? So there is some of that same law feeling. Like, what are they feeling physically? What are they feeling emotionally? What are they going through? Is there a particular situation in their life because of their symptoms that they can't experience? Are they a triathlete who has IBS and they can't make it more than a mile without having to go to the bathroom and there's no way they're going to make it through a triathlon, right? What's that feeling that they have emotionally about what's going on for them, right? You know, and then what kind of things keep them awake at night? If they were like, I can't go to sleep, what are the things that are going through their mind? What are they thinking about? Am I going to have enough energy tomorrow afternoon to take care of those three kids that need me? I collapsed on the couch today. I feel discouraged. I'm a bad mother. What is it that they're feeling that keeps them awake? Like that top of mind thing that goes, oh, right? Am I going to be able to see well enough to pass my driver's test? Am I going to lose my freedom by them taking my car away because I can't see well enough? What is it that's keeping them awake at night? And what do they think? And what do they feel? So I want you to take a few minutes to just really write this stuff down. Don't worry about how old she is yet. Don't worry about or he, whether it's male or female, because it could be either. But these are the things that can be common no matter what the age group if they have that particular problem. Right? Karen, you clearly like to work with the folks that are in the age where they're concerned about losing their freedom. So that in that sense, the age does make a difference, right? So take a few minutes to write those things down. If you've already done that, like Steph and Allison, and I don't know if I didn't see Mihaela or Lisa here, but I'm going to tell you what to do next. Since you've already done this, and if you've really done it to the extent, so sounds like you've done some work on this, Elaine, make sure you've done the emotional piece too, not just the can't lose weight, the low energy, etc. What is that? And then jot it down where it says, who's your avatar? And for those of you who have already done this, I want you to start thinking about what do you currently do to attract these people? And what other avenues can you pursue to attract these people? Where are these people hanging out? Like, you know, Steph, you have a very particular, I know you like to work with everybody with all kinds of problems, but your particular expertise and your focus is getting their gut healthy because that's what happened to you. Didn't have a healthy gut. I did all this other stuff right. And it was my gut flora, particularly which kind of gut flora I had that made a difference. Like, so where are these people hanging out, right? And then think about some affiliate partners, like your dream affiliate partners. Like if you can get five, like your top people that are going to say, I want to go to Steph Jackson's program. I want you to go to Ali's program, Alma's program. Who would they be? So those of you stay with working with the avatar. This is just for those who have already identified their avatar. And if you're working with this and you need help, just raise your hand. And I can even pull you up. Yeah,
So yeah, for me, it's been a struggle. I have like almost two different groups. You know, one is women over 50 and all of them have eye diseases already, or, but I have like equal amount of mild, like, you know, you as an example, right? ESI, and then I have an equal amount of people who never wore glasses and then they got them in their mid 40s, you know, and very different because they have this, they know how they had perfect vision and now they get frustrated with, they hate glasses, and the others have been wearing glasses since their teens or whatever. So it's like, but it's almost like 50-50 split. So I'm like, I don't know. I've been stuck with that for years.
That's not a problem. Okay. So here's the thing. Your program is the same, right? The solution is the same and you have patients in there, right? The solution is getting my program. So you can have multiple avenues of like different opt-in gifts for each of those groups. And I would recommend that, right? But you bring them in. Frank Kern, who's a big internet marketer, talks about this. He actually says, for every offer you have, you can have 4 to 5 different avenues going into it, right? So it's the person who just developed this, the person who had perfect vision just developed it, the person who has, you know, really had serious problems and now it's really bad, you know, the person who's in their 20s, who's starting to take classes and can't see the blackboard, whatever. Maybe it's just two. You may actually find that there's 3 or 4, but you've identified 2. So create marketing for each one. So 2 separate opt-in gifts.
Yeah, Callan was talking about that too, that you basically have one program, but you track, you just do marketing. At this point, I was lucky. I was always happy to have one marketing campaign in place.
You don't have to have more than one campaign, okay?
Right.
And this is where, like, I do some of my marketing is I have 3 different opt-in gifts.
Right.
And each of my opt-in gifts, like some people who come for blood sugar, for example, are coming because of that belly fat. So I have an opt-in gift related to that. Some of them are coming because they're so foggy they can't make it through the day. I have an opt-in gift.
Right.
I have an opt-in gift for the other issues, like the fatigue, right? So if I've identified 3 separate problems that are really, you know, usually together, but one's going to be predominating, then I just have 3 separate things leading in to the same sequence.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can do similar like that. Right.
Basically then, just to be clear, because that's what I've did in the past. I had like 2 different columns. I had the avatar woman over 50, and then I had the professional 35 plus. So you basically write different
things for each ones.
Yeah.
And then you look at what's the common emotions that they're both having,
mm-hmm.
you know, that frustration. I can't see right. I hate glasses. I'm going to lose them.
Yeah.
You know, the others have fear that they're going to actually go blind.
Yeah, exactly. That's more fear with the older.
There's more fear. Yeah. So yeah. You address that, right? And then you funnel them into the same solution.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I remember the first time I wrote something, 3 mistakes women over 40 make, and then women, men were like, well, is it not for men?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I don't like to name the sex in my thing. Like I don't say, you know, women, blah, 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 because men can have it too. And it does exclude, but the descriptions, if the men, you know, a lot of times men, we have very few men come into our ERC program.
Right.
So we've had like 4 or 5 of them over the, you know, last couple of years. And what it is when they relate to the feelings.
Right.
They relate to the feelings. They don't care about the sex, and we don't mention the sex. We just talk about the feelings of being able to do stuff before, being professional and no longer having your brain waves working anymore. You know, those sorts of things that
relate.
And yep. Also this, we end up getting, because I gear some of the writing towards the women and the way they think about it, we get those really cool, sensitive men that are open to being cool and sensitive, like one who started out with the attorney and very, but gearing, like feeling like that way. And now he like gets off the calls and goes, love you guys. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. Like, okay. It's so cool. Right. Because he's been able to get into an environment where other people share the feelings, where in his law firm, there's no way he's going to talk about how he feels about his health issues, right? Because macho men.
That makes sense. I used in the second one, I said professionals, but then a lot of my women are retired. So I usually agree with that. I prefer the feelings or the symptoms, like what that worry is versus the But yeah, Callan Rush always talked about the egoic label. Like, how would you describe
it? I always struggled with that egoic label.
Yeah.
But Maria found the same thing, you know, calling professional women. But, you know, somebody's a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
You know, but had a career, and now they're going to think similarly, right, mm-hmm. to someone who maybe never had a career, or, you know, just has taken odd jobs here and there. They're not going to have the same feelings about losing their sight, losing their fitness, losing their health, mm-hmm. as someone who is just always kind of, you know, just not.
I think, Steph, I agree. I think unless you work with moms of, you know, children with ADD or whatever, like, unless it's like so specific, I think I agree with the egoic label. It could be really tricky.
Yeah, like, I was Googling rheumatoid arthritis. I wasn't Googling tired moms. There are probably, but nobody's Googling for health stuff. You're Googling your perceived diagnosis.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I think it really depends on like how specific your work is or, yeah.
Okay, right, cool. And when you talk in marketing, that's a whole nother thing. Like with words and keywords and stuff, you want to bring in those words, right, that are going to attract people. But when they write, you want them to, she gets me. You want them to just feel like, oh, she gets my challenges.
I think Google's really smart now, though, and so is Facebook. And yeah. I think they can hear what I'm saying. Just saying, like, so they know what I talked to Jasper about, and ads pop up on my screen. And so does the search thing. So Google already knows I'm a single mom. So if I just like type in rheumatoid arthritis and there's a website that's languaging to me, even if they're not saying single mom, blah, blah, I think that that's the one that'll show up for me. I think it's getting smarter.
I also think, Steph, what really works, I worked with a guy who was an SEO expert, and he told me, he's like, you know how Google autofills stuff? Like when you type something in, and I realized that people, I always said natural vision improvement, and they actually search for natural eyesight improvement. So now he said, in everything you write, you should say natural eyesight improvement, even though you call yourself a natural vision teacher, maybe just in every, like, use those keywords that.
Absolutely. People,
yeah.
Absolutely. So the first starts with getting really clear on who you want to be coming. And yeah, some of them might have rheumatoid arthritis that nobody's telling them. Some of them might have with stuff, you know, that gut. Right, leads to all these weird problems that people don't associate with the gut. It's your job to get that. And we're going to talk about the state of awareness that people are at after this. So that'll be our next piece. So how's everybody with the avatar piece? Anybody need help with that right now? Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
I think I saw a note, Stephanie had it too, about taking one person at a time. I have so many people in my mind that could benefit. I'm trying to think of one because I can see similar issues and emotions from 20-year-old to people who are maybe have children with disabilities. I could see the children working with them and the parents.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to create a little grid of all the different people that you think you can help. And then you're going to write the feelings that are similar, that overlap each one.
Okay.
The situations that overlap each one, the frustrations that overlap each one.
Okay.
And then you're going to talk to those. Then once you get more advanced, you can have multiple things reaching out to those multiple people. But for now, let's get what's congruent with all of them.
Okay,
and if it's not, then your avatar is not narrow enough. If you can't come up with at least 3 to 5 things that are common with them, then you're too broad.
That's what I was wondering, if I should just, for purposes, just try to pick one.
Like, pick maybe one you love to work with the most.
Because I love them all. Okay.
Who do you feel most like fiery about helping? Like they're really an underserved person, underserved market.
Actually, I find both the special needs families as well as the premenopausal and menopausal, because that's where I was at one time.
So what's the similarity between them? Because it sounds very diverse.
Yeah. I would think the help that was, I think, out there I know that here in my little town over here, it's, or just this area, there's very limited, it's very conventional, which is fine. However, they miss so many marks, and it just,
I'm just going to take a stab here. Mm-hmm. That's the underserved market. The women in the 45, 50, that they're not underserved. There's a lot of people going out there trying to serve them in this space. And so I would go with the ones with that are families with disabilities, because you're going to be able to really hit like on the mark, the frustration that they're feeling, the pain they're feeling, the desires that they have for normalcy, for some semblance of normalcy. Yeah. That's what I would choose if I were you. You could go to the other group later.
All right. That helps me though. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else need some clarity?
Well, I do have a question, but it might be something that you just insinuated we were going to talk about later, so it might not be appropriate. But my avatar is somebody that is like me a few years ago, but not necessarily at a point where they know that they have Hashimoto's yet.
That's what I was going to say yesterday when Summer was saying with the thyroid thing, that's going to go people that already know. Okay. And that's great to have a gift for people that already know. And then you have another gift for people who don't, you know,
right, because that
the causes of afternoon crashes.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to hit both sides. I'm particularly.
Yeah, so start to try to hit one right now. Right. So we're going to look at the journey, like where they are with the pre-awareness, where they are at the awareness, where they are when they're aware of you and there's other options and they're trying to select. We're going to talk about that after we get through this. Okay. I think that's a really important piece that most people overlook. I'm trying to talk
about how to make the connection. So I'm trying to be that person that helps them to make the connection.
Make the connection. Got it. So then having a thyroid gift is not the appropriate thing for you. It would be something related to what are they feeling? What's their top of mind problem? Is it that they crash at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Is it that the weight that won't budge? What is for them the top of mind problem? And that's what you make your gift about. And you can make multiple gifts. Don't get me wrong. And you can do a gift on thyroid and put it, you know, elsewhere on your website or on there. But if you're feeling like, you know, most of these folks are not aware, then that's the stage. Isabella Wentz is working with people who already know they have Hashimoto's. They're aware, they're problem aware, and they're looking for a solution to how do I get over my Hashimoto's. And you can do that. It's not going to narrow your focus. You know, The woman has a multi-million dollar business, you know, serving people with Hashimoto's.
Yeah, I mean, she's a great sort. I follow her, but I didn't follow her until after I knew I had Hashimoto's, which was 10 years after multiple doctor's appointments that went nowhere.
Most people who don't know but are crashing with those symptoms, they're like, what the hell is Hashimoto's?
Yeah.
You know, is it some rare, you know, communicative disease that I have to be touching my neighbor's kids? How do we get that, right?
Yeah. What did I do wrong?
What did I do? Yeah. Well, Lynn, you listened to mainstream is what you did wrong, but that's another story altogether. Lynn?
Oh, I thought you were telling me I listened to mainstream. And
No.
When did I do that?
Wrong, right? That's what people did wrong. We don't want to make them feel like they did wrong. But what they did was they just trusted Western medicine. They trusted the people who don't know, who just know how to write their prescriptions. So right. Did you have something you wanted to add to that,
Lynn? Yeah. So one thing I've been realizing over at least the last year is my main avatar has been younger women who are just exhausted, because that was me. But now I wrote that a few years ago, and now I'm beginning to see the older women, the grandmas, things, because they have similar issues and there's a need for a bridge. Mm-hmm. And so they both, like you said, they both have that exhaustion at it, and help, but they also have this love of wanting to do things naturally and want to learn how to do it in this method. So I'm
Going to bridge the gap. And I think you're at a point where you can have that second. Your graphics are good. Think about it this way. If you're trying to bridge a bunch of things together, what graphic are you going to use? Right? If you're going after this young woman who's like, you get a picture of a young woman laying on the couch with a bunch of crazy kids making a mess in the house around her, right? That's what that woman's going to relate to. The older woman, you're going to have an older woman who's sitting on the couch kind of like this, and you know, all this great stuff's happening around her and can't deal with
the same. No, see, at the same time, you have that woman with the grandkids all around, but
the picture is going to be different, right? She's not going to go, oh, I'm not that woman. It's going to be grandma.
Right. Right.
Watching the kids. So it could be, but it's just different images that you could use, but it's the similar words that are going
to So the idea is that you have the young woman with the kids and the grandma with the kids, and then a bridge in between the two. That was the image that was coming for me.
It may be too sophisticated for them at this point to make the bridge. All right. You can have the both and you can do that. And at some point later in your marketing, you appeal to this one, you appeal to this one, you pull them together. And then when you pull them together, that's where the bridge is. See what I mean? I don't know that that's going to be a picture that's going to get both of them involved. They're going, huh, am I going to take care? I think it would be confusing, personally. Anybody else have opinions on that? I think that you do that later on. Steph, yeah.
I think that's a really powerful image to have for you at your workstation, so that you can like know that whoever you're talking to, you're making a difference. But I don't think that they need to know with their brain why they're connecting with you, or how they fit into your marketing funnel. I think they need to just see an image and kind of see themselves in it, but not even consciously.
Right. Because if they see both, they're like, I wonder what she's trying to tell me. I wonder. But if they just see themselves, they're going to go, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. That's what you want them to get. She gets me. That's how I feel. I want help. Let me read more. Let me see what she has to say about it. Okay. Yeah. You see, that's the thing where having outside feedback too is, you get this great idea and you think it's awesome. And then it goes like, it falls flat. Right? Or it doesn't really appeal to the people that you're trying to appeal to. We all think, oh, that's so cool, right? I came up with this name and I just got two different validations that it wasn't really appealing. And I got a third when I didn't get as many opt-ins, and I shifted my email sequence, and I said, mind reading strategies for holistic practitioners, right? Because I'm thinking, these are, you know, you take this lab and you take this, and then you tell somebody something and they think you're reading their mind. And then we came up with, oh, that's a cute name. We got horrible opt-ins on it. And then I heard JJ Virgin said, what the hell, mind reading? It sounds like some kind of woo-woo thing, right? And Summer said the same thing. So we shifted it to be, you know, lab and genetic reading things that make your clients think you're reading their mind. Ah, right? I was trying to come up with a little short name, right? So it didn't work. And we're going to come up with stuff. It doesn't work, right? You test it out on your audience. When two different people in that same audience said, what, mind reading strategies? It sounds like you're a fortune teller. Like, what are you trying to get across to these people? Right. But instead I had to give, here's what you want. And here, it makes you think, your clients think you're reading their mind. Oh, okay. I want that. Anyway, that's just an example. I thought it was cute. It wasn't appealing. It wasn't, my audience didn't think it was cute. How does everybody here feel about mind reading strategies for holistic practitioners? All right, so let's have Allie. Would you, because Allie had written this, and she did this with her ideal client. You don't have to be as let me just put it out there. Allie is this A+ student that, you know, super achiever. She did it all, like, you're not going to do it perfectly. She's been working on this for a long time. This isn't something she just sat down and whipped out in 15 minutes. So don't expect it, but it gives you an idea of the depth of understanding that she has for this person. And with those words, then she can create an opt-in page, an ebook, a web, pick the graphic images that are going to appeal to this person. So if you don't mind, Allie's going to read this. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break up into groups, and I'm going to manually process the groups. And anybody already feels like really clear on their avatar, like, you know, Mihaela and Steph and Allie worked with this with me on Thursday. So if you want to, we'll do an advanced group, and then we'll do the like get the avatar down group going. We'll have multiple groups within that. Okay. So, okay. Again, disclaimer. This is not what you're going to come up with your first pass. How many years, iterations, times did this take you, Allie?
5 years, but I really went deep on it once I had my ideal client. So I had somebody sign up with me for 12 weeks, paying me $3,000, and she wants to do the same for another year, every 3 months, not asking for a discount on that. And so she's the ideal client. So it was really easy to picture her. And I also did it because I did Nikki's Power Hour challenge, which is a free challenge. And she asks all the questions to get you really to the heart of your ideal client in a way that I've not had anybody else do it over 5 years or 10 years of studying this. Although my ideal client has sort of shifted over that time, because I started off working mainly with stress when I burnt out, and then I realized that menopause is the ideal niche for me.
Okay, so she's going to read this, and I want you to know that if you already have, like, you've been working and there's like this one person, like, I wish I could just attract a whole slew of these people. That's who you're going to write about when you do your avatar. Okay. So go for it.
And apologies to Lynn Rose, because I read this to her when we were doing the one-to-one yesterday.
Okay, good.
So Teresa is a 52-year-old professionally trained woman who lives in a detached converted barn on a farm near a rural village in Sussex. She and her husband have a joint household income of £100,000, so that's probably $130,000. And after years battling with chronic anxiety following an incident in her 20s, she has decided that this year is the year she is going to turn her health around. She has 3 grown-up kids, 2 of whom live close by, 1 helping with the farm shop. Her husband has 2 businesses, and she has not worked since the kids were born. She loves the countryside and walking her dog, but has begun to feel that her life has little meaning now that the kids are grown up. She is passionate about the countryside and is interested in learning more about a healthy lifestyle. Important relationships are those with her children and husband. She's learning to set some boundaries and stand in her power with her family. She's looking for ways to reduce her stress and anxiety and improve her hormone balance, feel more energized, and improve her skin as she suffers from eczema. She gets many hot flushes a day and wants these to stop. She aspires to have something that she can call her own, a business or a hobby. She wants to change her relationship with her kids and husband so that she feels more respected herself. She wants some excitement going forward. She's hopeful about the future. Her biggest disappointment is the impact that an episode of panic when in New York had on the decades since. She can't understand why she becomes overcome with anxiety at times. Her proudest accomplishment is her children, and she is pleased at their contribution to the world. When she feels most at peace, she is painting bluebells in her garden with her daughter or walking her dog in the woods. When she gets stressed, it can be about concerns for her health or anxieties that she creates around embracing new treatments or health advice. She is passionate about feeling great, the environment, and living a balanced life. Her vision for her life is to create more interest and excitement while impacting the lives of others. She spends a typical day doing dance fit in the morning, connecting with her health advisors, helping with some admin at the farm shop, and taking the dog for a walk. She does not feel that she has fulfilled her potential in this life and wonders what's coming next. She trusts people that she has made a connection with and whom she has got to know. She's generally happy with her life. She does not think she's successful, but is not certain what success is for her. She is looking for somebody to hold her hand through the challenges and conflicting information available online in order to transform her health. She's looking for somebody that she can relate to and get on with, and whom she can consider a friend as well as a mentor. She has realized that decades of health problems are not going to be cured overnight and is looking for somebody she trusts to work with for 1 to 3 years. She is looking for somebody who is approachable, responsive, and knowledgeable, and she's also looking for a sense of community. Working with me will help her to get to the root cause of her problems with the help of both history questionnaires and lab tests. She knows she'll be able to pinpoint where the weaknesses are in her system and use a holistic approach to improve them. With a multi-system approach, she will come out of working with me with boundless energy, a clear mind, balanced hormones, clear skin, refreshing sleep, and a new vision for her life. What matters to her about my service is my approachability and flexibility, as well as the insights that my work with lab testing give her. She wishes to be treated as a client and friend rather than as a patient. Respect goes both ways, and she is grateful to find somebody who she really feels respects her past, her knowledge, and her open-mindedness.
Awesome. So you get a sense, you get a picture of this person. Again, you don't have to be as detailed. Allie worked on this for years and evolved it and had somebody to model it after. But really what it embraced was this feeling that she, what she was looking for, what were her problems, what was keeping her awake at night, what her desire was, right? She said, one of the things she said was somebody to hold her hand. You better believe that that's going to be in some of this marketing. Let me hold your hand as I guide you through this process. We're going to unearth your most deeply rooted underlying causes of this through a combination of connection and lab testing, whatever, you know, so she can use that in her languaging in a sales page or in an opt-in. Okay. So what I want you guys to do is not to write something that's a story like that, because that could take you hours to do. But right now, to have a bulleted list of the situation, if it is a specific, like a disability, a child with disability, if it is somebody who's just been laying on the couch in the afternoon, if it is a mom versus a non-mom, it doesn't matter. You don't necessarily have to say that in your languaging, but you use that to get to the feeling. Like that despair when you're lying on the couch at 2 p.m. and the house is a mess and the kids are all running around, right? So I want you to, if you feel like you've got, I think you've gotten enough, we've given you enough time. So what I want to do is break you up into groups and you're going to help each other. We're not going to do two. We're going to do groups of, how many do we have here? 28. And there's about 5 of you for the other group. So let's do groups of 4. Okay, that's 2 groups of 4. So you can each talk about your avatar. You can talk about the feelings, and then you can support each other in, I guess, really making it clear, right? Is that good? Is everybody clear on what we're going to be doing? Yeah? Okay, so we're going to do groups of 4. So we have different perspectives. Some of the groups will have 3. Now, I'm assuming Mihaela, Allie, and Steph we'll go in the other group. Who wants to join Allie? Who feels really clear and wants to join Allie and Steph in the more advanced group? Eva, Lynn. Okay. Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and do, let's see if I can do this, Mary. The manual thing. All right. So we're going to manually put people into, so there's 5 of you there. So 28 minus 5. Is there anybody who's not going to participate? Marcy's here twice. So is there anybody else?
I'm not, Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah, I'm twice. Sorry, Violinda, you're not going to be doing it?
No, I can't. I'm about to sit for lunch.
Okay.
My family, my husband.
Okay, good. So we won't, sorry, we won't, we just won't include you. Marcy's there twice. Margie's.
I'm there twice.
Okay, so that makes it 26, 25, minus 5, so 20. Okay, so I'm going to put, I'm going to say we're going to put you into 6 rooms. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go assign. I'm going to first do the easy ones. I'm going to put Allie. And you're going to be in room 1, Allie, and where's Eva? Who else wanted to be in there? Was it Lynn or no? Yeah, Lynn. That's what I thought. Lynn, Mihaela, and Steph. Okay, so you guys are in 1 room. All right, so you guys should be, oh, as soon as I say open. Okay, so the next group, I'm just going to go down this. I'm just going to go down. We'll put Alma and Ava and Barbara and Carrie. And then in room three, I'm going to put Cindy and Claudia and Elaine and Gloria. Okay. And then room four, I'm going to do Jan and Jill and Karen and Lori. Okay. And then room five is going to be Louisa. I don't know which of the Marcies, Marcy, we'll have to have you speak so we know which of the ones makes noise. So Marcy, speak to us. I'm not going to put you in yet. I'm going to put Margie and Maria and Martha, you speak too, so I know which one of you is the real. So
Hello. The one picture.
Can you tell?
No, not the one with the picture, the one I wave at you. How about that?
Okay, wave at me, but okay, one is unmuted. Okay, got it. Let's just see. I'll put both Marthas in there and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna go to breakout room six, and that will be, let's see who else is left. Actually, let me just change that a little bit because let's see who's left. Feelings, not so Patty. I'm going to put you in one with them, Mary, because you've had a lot of experience with this and you can work with that if you want. So I'm going to put Margie, Maria, let's see. I'm going to put Louisa and, okay, so I've got, okay, let me do that. And then I've got, I can't get down to the last breakout room. My mouse. There we go. And then the last room is going to be Patty, Mary, Marcy, and Louisa. Okay. So I'm going to open all rooms, guys. And just say, remember when the thing comes up, say join. It should pop up on your screen. And you shouldn't have the problem where nobody's there. All right. Good luck. Marcy, click. Oh, these might be the extras. Martha, click join. Martha? Neither one of you have joined. Martha, click join. Okay, got it.
I have a good friend that that I'm going to be going to a meeting with, and she has a website called Healing Histamine, where she has a lot of good information on this. You guys, Mina. So in a very late term. But the bottom line is you have these immune cells, mast cells, that are used for all kinds of stuff. That produces some of the allergies that we have. We have mast cell stabilizers that we use for...